Welcome back to the Made for Him podcast. I am your host, Susie Zor, and I'm here again with Amy Johnson for part two, recapping some messages she shared with us at our last Made for Him conference in March here at the Evangelical Institute. So in our first talk, Amy, we focused on the heart of worship, looking at the why is it even important? Why do we do it? What is it? And who it is that we worship, namely Jesus. This second session will direct our attention to the how of worship, kind of that practical application. What does it actually look like? So can you share with us just how you started that second session out and talk about this amazing God that we approach?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to start session two actually worshiping together. Mm-hmm. So what came to mind as I was preparing was to ask you to have someone play a video. Several years ago, I had written, I guess you could call it a poem. It wasn't really a rhyming poem, but I wrote a post on Facebook about how stunning it is that God, being who he is, gives us still his full attention when we seek his face. But as I wrote through that post, I thought through various aspects of God and said, like, I find it stunning that while God governs the universe, orders the stars, causes the sun to rise, feeds the birds, commands the rain. You know, I'm not quoting it word for word, but all these various things that we know of who God is, thinking it through and then realizing that still at the same time, when anyone bows their head to call on his name, we have his full attention. Mm-hmm. We have his full attention anyway, but particularly when we come to seek him, we can know this and believe it, that our God, while he is so great, is right here. Mm-hmm. So that's how we started out that session, and then, you know, prayed and then launched into it. Mm-hmm. But focusing on various aspects of the greatness of God is important. And then we launched into the fact that when you do come to the Lord, the God we approach is both transcendent and immanent. Mm-hmm. He is high above everything. That's the word transcendent. Mm-hmm. And he is also right here, closer than the air we breathe, closer than our deepest thoughts and hidden motives. He is that God who is in every realm and is drawing us to himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And he calls us to come. Can you unpack that word even for us?
I love the word come. It's a very simple word. It is a command and an invitation. Our God is a God who is constantly inviting. I did talk in the session about the fact that come is a command because, with 11 children, been through training children a few times, learned very early on that when they're just becoming mobile, we don't want to confuse them with a ton of things they have to learn right away, but two simple commands, we made sure that they learn. Number one was the command no, because they need to know if they're doing something they shouldn't. It's for their own protection to understand when I say no, you got to stop. But the other command was come. As soon as they started to crawl or walk, become mobile, it was very important to us to train them. If we say come, you stop what you're doing and you turn around and you come to us. It's a personal command. Mm-hmm. It's a command to cease your own agenda. And as I'm saying this, I'm picturing my youngest daughter, you know, running away from me when she was two or three towards, you know, a neighbor's house or whatever. But it was really important that she learn when I speak that she stop her own agenda and turn around and come back to me, to her, the person who's calling her. So come is a command. We know that Jesus said it over and over again. Come follow me. Come to me, all you labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. But again, in that command, we still hear that it's an invitation. He's calling us. He's inviting us. It's not something that's stern. It's something that's beautiful and personal and wonderful. So just come. Just come.
Yeah.
Be with him. Seek his face. Worship him for who he is.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, a lot of times it carries with it, stop what you're doing and come.
Yes.
Not finish up what you're doing and, you know, take your own time. And then if you have time, maybe come. It's come to me. And
yes. Can you remind my youngest child?
Yeah. Well, I heard that many times growing up. So.
Yes. No, all of them had to be trained in that way. They did. Yep. Yeah. I mean, we've all, like sheep, gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And that is the heart of it, isn't it? We want our own way. To come to Jesus means that we turn from our own way and come back to him. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the answer to all of our needs. And so while it is, in a sense, a surrender, it's a call of love.
Yeah. And like you prefaced with, this is the God we're coming to, a God who knows us, is closer than the air we breathe already. It's not a far necessarily distance to come. We can sit right here in our chair. We can be laying in our beds. We can, just directing our thoughts, our attention to him is coming, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love the what the angels said to the shepherds at Christmas time, goodwill toward men. This is tidings of great joy and goodwill toward men. We're not coming to a stern God who is, you know, ready to wallop you on the head for whatever is wrong in any way. He is a God who's righteous, just, and holy. He doesn't countenance sin or rebellion, but he is the God of love who is wanting good for you. And that's not good on your own terms. That's good as he sees it and knows it to be for you. So coming to God, yes, there's an aspect of surrender, but there's an aspect of great joy in it. This is a God who knows you and loves you and can redeem, save, transform.
Because he made a way for us to come. Right? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can come? Only him who has clean hands and a pure heart. And it's only Christ who went, who had that, who qualifies us to be able to come in him. And so there's so much in there. And then how can this, or how does this orienting ourselves in his greatness help us to worship? What kind of perspective does that give us in our lives, our circumstances, that approach?
Well, the more we focus on who he is, the more we realize his presence in the everyday. So the God we approach is wonderful, and he's calling us into a relationship with himself. And the second whole point that I made in that session was to talk about the relationship that we cherish. And again, talking about the relationships that God has placed in the fabric of human life, you know, there's many of them that we could think of. We think of father and child. We think of brother, sister, master, servant, shepherd, sheep, all these different relationships. But particularly in terms of human relationships, the one that we are born craving the most is marriage, because face it, all us girls, this is a girls' conference. We're all born wanting Prince Charming eventually, you know, marry and live happily ever after. What Disney doesn't tell you is that when you get married, it's not the end, it's just the beginning of a lifelong of learning. But anyway, the marriage relationship is the closest one and the one that's meant to be the highest form of intimacy and delight and joy and living together. And God put that in the fabric of human life to show us something about himself. And I brought this out to the girls. It's more than just saying, oh, when I think of marriage, it shows me something about God. It's like, no, God made this for this purpose. He could have created human existence, life on planet Earth, however he wanted to. He could have structured it however he wanted to because he's God. But he made these relationships. He made the parent-child relationship. He made the marriage relationship to reveal something of who he is and what he wants to be to us. And, you know, people will say, well, if you didn't have a good relationship with your father, or if you haven't had a good marriage or love relationship, you know, that hinders what you know of God or what can experience, and you have to work through that. Well, I understand that, but at the same time, the reality is we all have something in our minds, deep in the core of our being, that understands what we want it to be, what we wish it were. We're just made that way with this understanding of what these could be and what are meant to be, even though we live in a fallen world. So the relationship with the Lord is the relationship we're meant to cherish above all. When you're in love with someone on a human plane, you delight to be with that person. You can't wait to be with that person. You want to spend time with that person. You know, you delight to learn more about them, and you never come to the end of it. We're all a world within a world. There's never an end of getting to know someone. And it's like that with the Lord. We're called to an intimate love relationship with the Lord, and that gets cultivated with time.
Yeah. And in that love relationship, sacrifice doesn't seem like sacrifice, right? You're coming, you're wanting to come.
Yes. And we brought that out in the session. I mean, sometimes the word surrender can seem like a negative. to a lot of people, it feels that way because you're giving up control. But I brought out to the girls, if you put that thought in the context of a love relationship, surrender is not a negative anymore, because when you are giving yourself to the person you love, that's a delight. Mm-hmm. The day I married Dan Johnson, I wasn't walking down the aisle thinking, I have to give up my name. I have to leave my father's house. I'm giving up independence or anything like that. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the man at the end of the aisle who was wonderful. And the fact that he loved me was amazing. And he wanted to be with me. I couldn't wait to give myself to him. Mm-hmm. And it's like this with the Lord. I mean, the fact that he receives our surrender is absolutely precious. Mm-hmm. And even our surrender wouldn't have been acceptable to God apart from the blood of Christ. I mean, this is the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. When he calls us to surrender, he's calling us to a life with himself. Even in marriage vows, we say, forsaking all others, I cling to you alone. Yeah. And that's what it's like to surrender to Jesus. I'm forsaking my own way. I'm forsaking other idols or living for myself. I'm giving myself to you, Lord Jesus, because you're wonderful. Mm-hmm. The fact that surrender can be received is absolutely precious. So, yes. Amen.
Yes, that is beautiful. He wants our love. Yeah. Okay, so kind of moving into that second section about ways in which we can worship, how we spend our time. Even that question or that phrase you kind of teased out later about spending our time, kind of looking at we make value judgments, and is it so much saying I didn't have time for it or I didn't make it a priority? So can you talk about that?
Yes, I heard that quote from someone else. That wasn't original with me. If you're ever tempted to say I didn't have time for that, switch it in your mind and say I didn't make that a priority. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, ouch. That's
helpful. Yeah, that is.
How many times are we tempted to say life is busy, I didn't have time for that? Mm-hmm. And I know busy. I mean, believe me, and everybody's busy. You know, I have 11 kids. I've taken care of elderly relatives in my home. I understand there's demands on time, and life can be crazy sometimes. But the truth is, we spend our time somehow, and we all have the same amount of time that's given to us. Spend is like a money word. And when you have a certain amount of money, you have to choose what you're going to do with it. You know, hopefully you learn to budget it well. And I talked to the girls about the fact that we have time. We just choose how we spend it. Some of it, you know, there are requirements upon us and there are things we have to do and duties we have to attend to. But we will make time for what is most important to us. Mm-hmm. We do that. And again, an example is if you're in love with someone, you will rearrange your schedule to be available when they're available to sit down and talk, because you want to be with them. You know, if it's a priority, we'll do that. And so I was talking to the girls about making it their habit while they're young to have the Lord Jesus a priority, where this is what I'm going to do with my life is daily make that time to seek his face. Mm-hmm. We know he's present all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not a legalistic thing where you must have your quiet time, and if you didn't have it, your day is going to be terrible. That's not it. Mm-hmm. He's present constantly. Mm-hmm. And we grow in this realization, the more we spend daily time with him, the more we will be aware of his presence all the time anyway. Mm-hmm. But making Jesus your priority, making it the habit of your life to spend time with him every day is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, we can have communion with the Lord all day long, but what about, okay, so let's look at that block of time that we do and we can set aside to spend with him. How can we spend that concentrated time? What are some things that we can do or focus on to direct our hearts, to instruct our souls to worship him? What could that look like?
Right. Well, first of all, to back up just a little bit, as I talked to the girls about that, I was like, don't make this a burdensome thing. Mm-hmm. If you're just starting out, I remember when I was 12 and just beginning to hear things about the fact that it was important to spend time with God every day, it felt a little bit weighty. It felt a bit like a burden, like, do you really mean I have to do this every day for the rest of my life? I almost felt like I was shackling myself to something, and yet I should do it because it's the godly thing to do. But I was really encouraged reading a devotional by Corrie Ten Boom where she said, look, give this 5 minutes a day. Just decide you're going to spend 5 minutes a day doing this. And after a while, you'll realize 5 minutes isn't nearly enough for the time you want to spend with this person. But don't burden yourself with something that's unrealistic, start out with the 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I can do that. Most people can do that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But when you come to the Lord, first of all, I told the girls, don't be afraid of silence. Do mm-hmm. not be afraid to be quiet. Sometimes we just need silence to remind ourselves we're in his presence. Mm-hmm. Our silence and our time alone with him doesn't conjure up his presence. We don't make it happen. Right. He is present, and being quiet for a little bit can help us to realize that we mm-hmm. actually are in his presence. He mm-hmm. is present.
Because even working really hard to try to feel his presence is not mm-hmm. focusing on the right thing at that point.
Exactly. Like, yeah. We're focusing then on our feelings mm-hmm. or our efforts. Mm-hmm. And that's good not point. Where life is, our feelings or our efforts. Mm-hmm. Feelings come and go. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's really important. This is a side note, side but note, just sorry. To learn not to live on feelings, but to focus and pull that. We talked mm-hmm. about pulling the horse's reins, pulling mm-hmm. the horse in the right direction. Pull your head into the right direction
yeah.
on who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then as you take that time with him, you know, be still, be quiet, but think on scriptures, think on things that he's revealed of himself. Think of how he's revealed himself in creation. Mm-hmm. Focus on who he is, this wonderful God. Mm-hmm. And then I was encouraged to begin in the Gospels and look at Jesus. Just read something.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. Like, who is he? What's he doing? Mm-hmm. What's he saying? What does this mean to me? And take whatever you find there back mm-hmm. to him in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, don't just let it stew in your own head. Mm-hmm. Talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And that's time with him. That's mm-hmm. fellowship. That's communion with him. Mm-hmm. And you'll grow in that over time. But, you know, starting right where you are, coming to him and letting mm-hmm. him walk you through that.
Mm-hmm. So good. What do you think is the place of other things such as books, devotionals, music? How can we use that in a healthy way? Because it could be, it could be overused, or I don't know. How would you place those into worship?
I don't think there's any one size fits all yeah. with your quiet time. And mm-hmm. I also think that seasons of life are different. So what the Lord might use to minister at one moment in time, it might be different at another. I definitely have used devotionals, and that can be really good. But I would say don't let that replace the Word of God and just going through. And again, not everybody has to handle their quiet time the way I do. One thing that I have found in my own life that's been a tremendous benefit is just deciding I'm going to read through the whole scripture over and over again my whole life. Genesis to Revelation. And when I'm done with Revelation, I start back in Genesis. And that gives me a forward motion purpose to my reading of the word. So I'm not like getting through one book and then going, what do I do next? I always know where I'm headed, but I also don't make that a burdensome thing to myself. Mm-hmm. Like some people always try to read through the Bible in a year. I don't try to do that. I tried at one point when I was younger, and I realized very quickly that if I did that and I got behind according to what the schedule was supposed to be, mm-hmm. then I would just feel disappointed and frustrated. Mm-hmm. Whereas I thought, forget that. Even if it takes me 3 years, at least I know where I'm going. I know mm-hmm. where I'm headed. I'm going to read through the whole scripture
mm-hmm.
because it's all important.
Mm-hmm.
For someone just starting out, again, I would say probably start in the Gospels because those are stories that maybe you grab, they're more familiar, grab a hold of more easily, but the entire Word of God is important. So read what portion mm-hmm. you have for that day and ask the Lord to show you, you know, what does he want to show you in this today?
Mm-hmm.
Literally ask, because mm-hmm. he says, ask and it'll be given to you. And there are times certain portions of scripture are harder to wade through.
Mm-hmm.
And yet if you've asked the Lord to show you something, he will. Mm-hmm. He's very faithful. Even mm-hmm. if it's one tiny little nugget in the middle of a huge genealogy, mm-hmm. I've always been amazed at what the Lord will show me in those mm-hmm. things. And take that and thank him for it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back to him and worship mm-hmm. him.
So. Amen. That's good. And I think it seems better to just focus on even one paragraph rather than try to get through three chapters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his word is so rich. And you can, like you said, one little phrase can be mm-hmm. enough for week, a month, a
absolutely.
Year. So that's encouraging. How do you think we should view worship? Is it something that's primarily for us or for the Lord? Or I'm just thinking about this in our coming, like, yes, why come and who we're coming to, why we're doing these things, but who is it primarily for?
That's a good question. It's interesting that in the book of Acts, as they were just going to commission the Apostle Paul the first time, it said that the church was ministering to the Lord and fasting. And there are other places in the scripture that talk about, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Bless the Lord. That's a very good point you bring up. This is not just for us. I mean, it does benefit us. But we're coming to the Lord to glorify him. And it pleases him for us to come. I mean, we talked about the songs of Revelation. Thou art worthy, our Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is not just something for us, the quiet time, the worship time. It's for him. It's to give him the honor that's due his name. But it's not even just the honor for him. It is, but it's pleasure to his heart. I'm a mother, and anyone who's a parent knows that when your little child comes to you, you know, you're not looking for perfection. You're not looking for even what they can do to serve you. You're just glad for them to come because you want to pour out your love on them. And, you know, likewise, when you're married to someone, you don't serve them just out of compulsion. There's a desire to give. And it goes both directions. So your time alone with the Lord is a time with someone who loves you. And it is for him, not just for us, although it benefits us tremendously. And the other thing about worship, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about that as we gaze on the Lord, and I'm not quoting this word for word, but we are transformed as we look away to him. It's the changed by beholding principle. The more we look away to him and worship him for who he is, he's doing the work of transforming us from the inside out. So this is definitely a blessing, you know, both directions, but it's how we become like him and reflect his image as we're looking at him and worshiping him.
Yeah, that's great.
Did we talk about the alphabet?
We didn't, but please do.
Okay. For anyone who's starting out, and even if you're not just starting out, if it's, you know, I do this all the time. When I'm coming to the Lord in worship, especially if I'm tired and it's early morning or I want to get started, a lot of times I will just go through the alphabet, as elementary as this sounds, and think of something about the Lord to worship him and praise him for, starting with each letter of the alphabet. And I went through this with the girls because I wanted them to see what this can be like. You know, you're worshiping the Lord. He's the answer to everything. It's like, Lord, you are the bright and morning star. You are the captain of the host. You are the day spring from on high. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You're the friend of sinners and the good shepherd and the high priest and the intercessor ever living to make intercession for us. How amazing is that? He's the justifier. Hallelujah. He's the king of glory and the Lord strong and mighty. And he is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows all that I'm walking through. He's the Lord who makes all things new. He's the Lord God omnipotent who reigns. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the pearl of great price. He gives quietness and confidence. And he's the Redeemer and the Savior and the Teacher and the Unchanging One and the Victorious King. He's the Wonderful One. He's exalted forever, unassailably exalted. He's the yes to all the promises of God. He's zealous for the will of God. And that just went through the whole alphabet. And that was pretty quick. I sometimes will expand more on each one. But you can see how that sort of just primes you for launching forward then in more worship.
So that's beautiful.
Some method you can use.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I've heard it described too, a quiet time, you know, kind of as a tuning of your heart's instrument for the day, because it's not just, here's my worship time and then I'm going to go live my life how I want, but it's, this is who you are, Lord. And I'm living in light of all that. And that's just the beginning of who you are. Yes. Like, just, I think, can set us up for, a day of just continually thinking on him and who he is. And you talked at one point too about worshiping him in the area of your need.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is another very important aspect of this. Because we want to focus on worship. And I mentioned worship first before you get into praying other things, because that gives you perspective on your need. But the Bible never tells us to ignore the fact that we have need. Like, we're not just praising God to the exclusion or the forgetting of the fact that we have needs. We're all conscious of needs. We have sorrows. We have difficulties. We have impossible circumstances sometimes, and battles that we face. And the Bible doesn't have us ignore that. But you can take a good square look at that and then worship God in that area. And Dan used to teach this a lot in Romans chapter 4. It tells us that Abraham, you know, remember he and Sarah had been promised a child. It was 25 years before that promise was fulfilled. And in the meantime, what did he do? Well, he looked squarely at the fact that his own body was as good as dead. He was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 and her womb was dead. This was an impossible circumstance, but he took that impossible circumstance, looked at it, and then grew strong in faith as he gave glory to the God of the impossible. So take your particular area of need, and we all have them, and focus then on who God is in relation to that need. You know, if I am in need of provision, well, he is the God who owns everything and promises to provide for his children. If I'm having trouble with a relationship, well, you know, God is the God of perfect love, perfect wisdom, perfect forgiveness. I mean, anything that you're struggling with, that's where God is inviting you to find him. So yes, we're invited to pour out our hearts to him. Prayer takes different forms. Sometimes it's beseeching, or there's intercession for the need of other people. All of that is important. But if you begin with worship, taking the area of your need and using that to worship God for who he is in relation to it, it's very important.
Yeah. And that's so lifting too, because it's like it's placing it, the what is it, the responsibility, the authority on him and not on ourselves. And I think too of even of Christ, you know, when people were leaving him, this is somewhat related maybe, but he said, he turned to his disciples and said, are you going to go also? And they said, Lord, to who else would we go? Like, you have the words of eternal life. Like, you are the only one that really we can come to and find rest and what we need. And
exactly. Think of that. And I also told this story to the girls, even back in the first session, how Dan used to talk about a time when he was in college and he was facing a need that was one of those just heart-wrenching things. We all go through those where something happens, we're facing something and it feels overwhelming and it feels like maybe I've messed up too much to make this right ever. We just don't know what to do. And the Lord called him to go outside on the football field at night, just go out, be alone, outdoors though, and then look up at the stars. And as he looked at the stars, it was as if the Lord said, how big are your problems? And how big am I? And then Dan, he said he laughed because he realized this is nothing to the Lord. But again, he was outdoors. God even called Abraham to go out of his tent, go out and look at the stars, you know, and just remember how great your God is and worship him, because your problems are not big to him.
Yeah. That song, when I look at the stars, the work of your hands, the moon, what you set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? And it's not a demeaning thing at all. It's, this is who I am. And I care about you. And my attention is towards you. And that's beautiful. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Well, kind of wrapping up, you've touched on this already, but what would you say to someone who is struggling with this area, realizes maybe it's not a part of their life or it seems kind of overwhelming? What would you say to them? Like, how to just start cultivating this heart and life of worship?
Start simple and just come. Just come. I was talking to you about a book that I really enjoy is Gentle and Lowly. And at the very end of that whole book, he says, here's the conclusion of the whole thing. Step one, come to Jesus. Step two, see step one. Come to Jesus. Talk to him. Ask him to help you. Be a worshiper. Those who ask, receive, right? Just come and look at him. And just let him transform you.
And that's enough. Well, thank you, Amy. This has been an encouraging conversation and just recap of that. And thank you for those of you who have listened. And if you missed that first episode, you can go back and listen on either Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or Spotify. And next time we'll be interviewing some other ladies that got to share with us at Made for Him conference. And so I'm sure you'll want to hear those as well. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X to stay connected. And we'll look forward to the next podcast. Thank you again for coming and for being with us, Amy.
Thanks, Susan.